Rivers and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 12. As we are high atop Madison Square Garden and the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you. The Hawk is talking out there. It was a deluge this weekend. The rain came pouring down, cats and dogs yesterday. And I was saying if only a little bit of that could have been transported to Cape Town, South Africa, which is in a drought emergency. They got a little spritz. They got happy. They were cavilling. But it's not going to help their problem. In the house, Rita Cosby, who joins us now every Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 right here at WABC.
And guess what, Curtis, where I was, it was actually nice and sunny and pretty glamorous. If you guys have been on Twitter, you've seen I have a... an interesting photo. I was at a place called the Winter White House, Mar-a-Lago. Have you been there, Curtis? It's an interesting place.
No, and I would never go there.
Oh, you are missing something. Let me tell you.
I would rather be
cool.
Outside with the Haitians that were protesting just a few weeks ago. First off, how did you afford getting into Mar-a-Lago? You have to be like a millionaire, billionaire just to qualify to get through the front door.
Well, you know what it is? I have a great smile. I have that millionaire smile, you know, and that is just, that is priceless. And that alone will get me in the door. But I have been there before. I've been to Mar-a-Lago a number of times, but I went, and actually this is something near and dear to your heart, my friend, because I was down there in Miami in that area for the 60 million Congress that represents the 60 million Poles that are in Poland and outside of Poland. So Polonia, which you and I are proud parts of. And also I was there doing a panel talking about Polish businesses. And then the Polish-American Leadership Summit, it's a big, huge thing about Polish investment and U.S.-Polish relations, and I was a part of that as well. And we spent the day at Mar-a-Lago and had, you know, a luncheon there. It was very cool. And it was fun to kind of go there just to look around. I mean, this is an amazing property. First of all, you probably know the history, Curtis, but it was the Marjorie Merriweather Post is the heiress, of course, to the Post cereal. She's the one who built the house way back when.
Well, I like Alphabets.
Yeah, well,
Alphabets was my favorite
I
Post cereal.
I love this. This, by the way, and I like Lucky Charms. That's my biggie. But Donald Trump took it over. He purchased the place in 1985. It survived two divorces. It's still standing, and it was an amazing, beautiful property. I ran into a lot of people on the Trump team that hang out there all the time, and it's kind of, you know, so weird. It was such a surreal scene, and I'm going to post some more pictures later on. Everybody go to Cosby, Curtis and Cosby, Curtis and Cosby on our Twitter page and also Facebook. I'll put some more pictures up later today and tomorrow because it's an amazing property. But what's so surreal, Curtis, is that part of it, it's still going on as a private club. You know, you see all these, you know, very, you know, hoity-toity folks who are able to purchase, you know, a very expensive membership. It was 100,000 before Trump became president. I think it's like 200,000 is the one-time dues, but then you got to pay annual fees. So as you said, it's a high-priced place. But you see all these people sort of having their own thing, enjoying the property, you know, swimming at the pool. It was nice weather. And then on the other hand, there are all these Trump folks, too, also still trying to work and put out all the fires and everything else going around President Trump.
Yeah, well, there were plenty of fires this weekend that were precipitated by his own tweeting. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com. It's interesting because I had predicted as we left the airwaves on Friday.
You did make this prediction. I know where you're going.
Pretentious one, the a-hole, The one who considers himself one of the chosen people. You know,
I would never call him an a-hole.
From the chosen tribe, Sid Rosenberg.
Oh.
I predicted that as he would succumb to the flu, he would not be back on Monday. And in fact, let's go to the audio tape when the announcement was made by Bernard McGurk, who at that point was fading quick to the grip.
Sid officially has the flu. Just diagnosed within the past half hour. And we're all sweating it here. Are we going to catch it?
Well, it looked like Bernard McGurk was catching the grip. He was smart enough and wise enough to go into his little hovel right here.
He's fighting it though a little bit. I was talking to him just a few minutes ago. He's a warrior. He's fighting it.
Well, he was in his hovel. He took a nap from the afternoon to the evening because I actually was leaving simultaneously with him. And it sort of refreshed him. It got him back on track.
But that would refresh anybody, seeing you. What time in the morning was that?
It was about 9:30 at night.
Okay.
But Sid Rosenberg, I had predicted, he was out Wednesday with the flu. And then he came in because O'Reilly was co-hosting with Bernard McGurk. And naturally, he was getting a little nervous. You know, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Bill O'Reilly hasn't necessarily landed anywhere yet. He's got no gig. He's tainted. You know, he's got a scarlet letter on him.
He has millions upon millions of followers.
He could have millions and millions of followers, but still, he's not landed anywhere. And so, naturally, he would love to be a participant on WABC, the number one news talk station in the nation. So I geeked up Sid. I said, Sid, you better get your tuchus in here because it couldn't soon be the Bernard McGurk, Bill O'Reilly show. And he came in Thursday. And then he was down for the count again on Friday. He's down for the count today. I predict it will be a total of 7 days because he would not listen to any of the advice that this Gentile was giving to him.
But is that in general or is that him not listening to your advice on the flu or he just doesn't want to listen to any of your advice? Is that it?
Didn't listen to any of the advice I was giving everybody about the flu, including posted messages in the men's room. He totally discarded it.
Wait a minute. Not men's room. Remember, you got to be like Justin Trudeau. It is a bathroom.
Well,
you know,
if
manhood,
you're a woman,
not manhood. It's not.
If you're a woman, you don't want to go into that bathroom. By the way,
sadly, you know, I've gone in and I like pray every time before
exactly,
I run in. You see
we
the
don't
tears?
Want to do that to
do
the ladies
the
of WABC for sure. So Sid was down for the count. Then it's Friday night. Mark Levin, right? We expect that he's back because originally he had indicated on Thursday that he was fighting the flu and the grip.
I don't have a cold. I have the flu.
And he did. And he fought his way through. He did all 3 hours. But then on Friday, he was down for the count. And I predict he'll be out tonight, too. Because once this flu gets you and it starts to work on you physically from having the schwitzing because you get fevers and then all of a sudden chills and then all of a sudden the grip. And from a broadcasting point of view, when you can't talk, obviously, you can't broadcast.
That's the worst, by the way. And just so you know, too, I mean, as you mentioned, you know, we've got our colleagues here. There are so many folks off the air, too. I mean, right before I got on the air, I got a cup of coffee. I ran into like three of our colleagues, Curtis, who were like, oh, I'm feeling. And then one of them was like, hey, how are you doing? Shake my hand. I'm like, no shaking the hand. Because you know what? You and I are warriors. We're going to fight through it. And I have a feeling that Curtis and Cosby are going to be the 2-1 standing at the end.
And
I have a feeling.
And then, in addition to that, our board operator, Mr. Know-It-All.
Oh, yeah, him.
The hipster, the millennial, you know, wearing his skinny jeans, his Converse canvas sneakers, and his man bun, Brian Mongalucci.
I thought those were ballet slippers. I didn't know they were sneakers.
Could have been, but he's now hoarse. He claims it's allergies. Yeah, right. It's the flu.
Right.
And it's cutting through all the 17th floor. But it's also cutting through our population throughout the tri-state area.
It is. And by the way, some sad news over the weekend, too, Curtis. As you point out, there was another death that they believe is attributed to to the flu. And it's a young child because, of course, the young, the elderly, everybody's vulnerable, but particularly the young and the elderly.
So what does the New York Post put on its front page? Baby number 4. Passes on as a result of the flu. Get flu shots for your children. Absolutely not. Having been with the pediatrician for my two youngest sons, Carter and Hunter, ages 9 and 6.
Yeah, I love that. That actually, you know what I think is so great that your pediatrician actually pulled you aside. Yeah, and I've had doctors say the same thing.
Pediatrician had a waiting room packed with parents and children and some grandchildren. all of whom were sneezing and sniffling and coughing and obviously had the flu. And she was saying, straight up, I'm not going to give your kids the flu shot. It does not work this year around. In fact, if anything, your kids will end up getting the flu. And yet we hear the propaganda over and over and over again. You got to get the flu shot. You got to get the flu shot. You got to get the flu shot. And guess what? You get a flu shot, you're going to get the flu. Anyway, let's open up our phone numbers, our phone lines at 800-848-WABC. That's 800-848-9222. And speaking of my kids, I was right across the street from Sunrise Chevrolet on Saturday.
That's right. You had a neat weekend, too. Very neat weekend.
I was in the shul because both of my sons, they are conservative Jews being brought up by their mother, the Queensborough president, Melinda Katz. And so I was told that my son, Carter, age 9, was going to do the ashray. I said, is this going to cost me shekels? You know, like when I had to send him to pre-kindergarten Hebrew school.
Wait. Did you ask that publicly or did you just think it privately?
Of
and what
course.
Did they say? What did they say when you asked it publicly?
They looked at me like, what's he doing here? Excuse me, I'm the father. When they were going to pre-K Hebrew school, you accepted my checks from this Gentile, right? And then you told me I couldn't go up on the beamer. I couldn't observe my son giving the ashray because I'm a Gentile.
Now, first of all, what was their reaction, Curtis? Because here it is, you know, they've got this very, you know, very faithful moment, right? And then there is Curtis Sliwa in his red beret. What was their reaction when they saw you walk in?
Well, I was happy. I was quelling because apparently my son, he had all of his lines in Hebrew. I don't know any Hebrew.
Wow.
I know some Yiddish.
Were you impressed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I was ready to
great.
Hand out shots of schnapps and scotch. But you see, Jews, they have to kvetch.
By the way, I saw half of them in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? I'm surprised they were even in the synagogue. They were in Mar-a-Lago with me this weekend.
This is what they do best. And they become so eloquent when they're kvetching, when they're complaining. They're coming up to me complaining. Why did you say that about Sid Rosenberg? He's one of our chosen people.
Oh, did they? Did they?
They were
sarcastic. They were defending Sid.
Derisive, you name it. Just on my case, and I'm saying, hey, look, I'm the righteous Gentile. I'm ready to hand out the schnapps and the scotch for my son, Carter, delivering the ashray. And apparently, to rave reviews from the rabbi and the cantor, but to the rest of the congregation, kvetch, kvetch, kvetch.
Now, did they ultimately embrace you, or what happened?
No.
What was the transition?
No, it was time for me to leave. I had to get out of there. You know, I'm like, hey, if I want complaining, right, I'll get married again. And then I'll go home and just be complaint after complaint after complaint.
Hey, by the way, now, will you get married again? I bet Nancy's tuning in. Will you get married
again?
Well,
that's the question. A lot of people are assuming that I will be going down the aisle another time with Nancy Regula.
And?
Well, we may leave it to the listeners on that.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. All right, so wait. I'm going to put you to the test here.
Yes.
If the listeners say, absolutely, you have not proposed, right? No, not even privately or anything. Right. You and I have been buddies for a long time. If the listeners say, yes, we want you to propose to her, let's hear what time frame. We're going to lock you in.
Didn't I follow through on that commitment when it came to shaving the beard
the
beard?
So you're going to say you're going to stand up to whatever they say?
Well, I think spring might be the appropriate time. Once it gets a lot warmer, once the birds are chirping.
Wait, spring to put it out to listeners or spring to put it out now?
We'll put it out to the listeners. Now it's a little too early. We have the 39th anniversary of the Guardian Angels tomorrow night with the showing of the documentary Vigilante here on the 17th. For WABC.
That is a great documentary. And everybody, the folks, and I know it's a limited availability, but the folks who are coming here to watch it, I had the pleasure. You gave me a nice little sneak peek of it. And you and I, of course, have been buddies for years. But your story is amazing. And the folks who are coming, you're in for a real treat.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to John first up in the queue, calling from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Johnny?
Hey, John.
Yes, hello, John.
John,
how are you? I'm good. How are you?
We're good. How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
You are? What about the flu? What's your advice? We've been yapping about the flu.
Well, I happen to, you ever hear of those minute clinics at CVS?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So, like, I just wanted to get, I was thinking about the flu shot, and same thing. I didn't want to, like, go and be around a whole bunch of sick people. And you go online, you book an appointment, they give you a time to come in or have whatever. And I went there, in and out, they have a nurse, no people hacking and coughing, got the flu shot, and, you know, That was it. So just a...
How many days ago was that?
Yeah, that's my question.
Oh, I did it about, I think, like a week or so ago.
Okay, so you're just about prime to develop the flu now. It generally takes about 7 days. So you've been injected with a flu strain. And my prediction is probably by Wednesday, you'll start to feel the grip, the headaches. You'll be schwitzing. You'll have cold feet. You'll begin the process of then having to fight the flu, which could take you down from anywhere from a week to 10 days to 2 weeks, God forbid, even more.
Boy, you know, that sounds so appealing for John to look forward to. You know, when I got the flu shot, I felt sick almost immediately because I never really take medicine. I rarely
don't
get
take
sick.
Take the flu shot.
You know,
don't
well, that,
take it.
Well, that's why I have not. I purposely have. I've been listening to you, Curtis, and I'm telling you that the last two times I got the flu shot, I think the last one was a few years ago, and I was sick within hours. Out! And I'm not talking just, I mean, I was sick, and I was sick for a number of days within hours.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. To the phones we go. Let's go to Jerry in Bayshore. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Jer.
Hey, Jer.
I hear you say that if you get a flu shot, you're going to get the flu?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, you're doing a terrible disservice. Unless you went to medical school, every doctor will tell you that it's better to get the shot than not get the shot. So you should be very careful about what you're saying.
Well, how come everybody around here who's gotten a shot is falling like flies?
I'm 95 years old.
Right, but they're falling like flies here, Jerry. I haven't gotten the shot, and I'm withstanding it. Rita Cosby hasn't gotten a shot. She's withstanding it.
That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't prove anything.
Okay.
Every doctor will tell you you should get the shot.
Well, the pediatrician who cares for my two youngest sons says, do not give them the flu shot because they will get the flu.
He should have his head examined.
Yeah, but he went to medical school. And listen, Jerry, you know, I've had a number of people who've said the same thing. Let's continue with the callers. Let's go to Joe from Yonkers. Joe, you're here with Curtis and Rita Cosby. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi. Instead of, like, waiting for the last minute, because whenever I used to get my flu shot in December or January, I would get the flu. So I get it in October. And it lets my body, like, acclimate to it.
But listen, what's funny, Joe? I feel the same way. I am last time I had it, I was knocked out. Actually, if you're going to do it, your point is a good one. You got to do it ahead of time. But why take it? Did you take it this year?
Yeah, I did. And all through this cold and everything, I haven't caught a sniffle.
And I haven't either. And Curtis and I are hard-charging people, and we're doing, you know.
No shots. No flu shots.
Yeah. But, you
don't
know,
feed the beast.
But his idea is an interesting one. If you're going to do it far ahead so you can get sick, and then you fight through the season as opposed to, like, you know, getting it now with the weather so crazy,
well, let's
too.
Let's go to Joanne, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I don't give my kids the flu shot. I don't give them any vaccination before the flu season or during the flu season. It takes 12 weeks for the body to recover from a vaccination. It's a bombardment on the immune system. So if you're going to do it, it should be given way ahead, because the body has to recover from the vaccination.
Absolutely.
And you'll pick up other things. You know, you'll pick it up if your body your immune system is down.
Well, it's interesting. You use the term bombard your system. Somebody would have to be a masochist out there to suddenly get the flu shot now and know that they're going to get bombarded for the next 12 weeks.
And to know the chances are so slim because despite what Jerry's saying, doctors are even saying now that, you know, that it's only, what, like 7 to 10% effective? I mean, you know, the upside is not a great upside.
Well, they got supply. They got to get rid of the supply so they can make their scadol, but not on my back, that's for sure. Meantime, let's get our news headlines and updates from Lisa Rich.
Curtis and Cosby.
Talking about the Red Angels of NY City.
On the air, on the app.
Curtis Cosby.
Where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
Behind the kimchi curtain of Korea, both north and south, the Winter Olympic Games are taking place. And meantime, our vice president has been representing our country there along with other world leaders.
By the way, I love the Olympics, Curtis. I think that the Olympics are always such a great testament to pride, to U.S. pride. I love seeing these countries that don't often get along, which is where we're headed, come together, and sometimes some big breakthroughs happen.
All right, and these athletes, many of them spending years in preparation to first win their national trials and then to compete in the international games, they sometimes are devoid of politics. They don't necessarily have political bone in their body.
And by the way, I don't think they should actually get into politics either. I think you save that for the politicians. I think that the athletes themselves should focus on doing what they do best, and that's, trying to beat the other guys.
But they're like most citizens. They're not politically astute. But our vice president decided that when there was the march into the stadium, that he would only stand for the national anthem of the United States and refuse to stand up for any national anthem other than ours. And I said to myself, how boorish, how Neanderthal. What was the point of that? You mean to tell me all these countries that are participating here did not merit you, Vice President Pence, getting off your tuchus and standing there and at least showing some respect for what these athletes have gone through in order to qualify to participate in this Winter Olympic game?
Well, and you see what's been happening, too, like all over social media, and I'm curious what all of you think. It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. Should he have stood? Because people are now equating it to all the Colin Kaepernick stuff. That was the first thing that came out. You know, everybody's like, well, wait a minute. You know, he's saying that Colin Kaepernick and, of course, you know, the other football players who were kneeling, that they should have been standing, you know, during our national anthem. And then here he is with the other teams. Now, you know, I also think particularly when the South Korea team, because what happened was it was the unified team. Remember, it wasn't just South Korea. It was the unified Korean team, which was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, given what's been happening with South Korea and North Korea, I think it was actually a great moment if diplomacy and Olympic diplomacy could try to resolve some very serious issues. This huge nuclear threat that we're facing from North Korea, that's a great thing. And I think he actually should have stood. It'd be different if it was like, okay, now here is the North Korean machine, you know, regime coming in, and now let's see you stand. Then I have no problem with Pence sitting down at that moment.
Yeah,
but I think it was a unified team. He should have stood.
Right.
It was the home country.
But it wasn't just for the Korean unified anthem that was created on this occasion. He didn't stand up for any national anthem.
And that's where I think he absolutely should have.
What about some of our allies, Canada, right? What about for the Jamaican bobsledding team, the female bobsledding team? I mean, he didn't stand for any of the anthems. What the hell was that about?
And I think...
What point was that making? America first?
Yep.
Is that what the point was being made? America, number one, second to none. We don't stand for anybody else's anthem. I never knew that that's what our country represents.
Well, and also, especially for the home country, let's talk about in particularly with the home country, because it's out of respect for the home country and certainly South Korea, who is an ally of ours. That's the thing about it. I mean, the interesting, they're right there on the front lines. They've got North Korea right in their backyard. We need to show the world that we're standing with South Korea. It would have been a great thing to absolutely stand
for them. To find out from our many listeners, what was the point of Pence not standing up for any national anthem with the start of the Winter Olympic Games? 1-800-848-WABC, because I'm certainly perplexed. 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Mark, who's calling from Connecticut. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Mark?
Thank you. Before I say anything, what are the rules of engagement? Do the politicians actually have to stand up for the other country's anthems?
Well, no, there isn't, but it's usually out of respect, don't you think, Mark?
I mean, it really depends. When it comes to politicians, the rules of engagement are the rules of engagement.
Yeah, you know what? Mark, let me tell you, listen, and you know, many of you guys know my father was a prisoner of war. He was in a Nazi POW camp. If it was back in Berlin's time, you know, with the Olympics, I wouldn't be standing for the home team there. But this is South Korea, and these are other countries, too, as well. I mean, it's a little weird. I don't understand why you wouldn't go over and applaud these athletes.
Mark, they stood when our nation came in. They stood when our American national anthem was played to the crowd. But we couldn't stand through our vice president and show them similar respect. What was the point of that, sitting on his tuchus?
I don't know. But it's not the same as Colin Kaepernick, that's for sure.
Well,
but,
I don't
but
know.
But it opens the door.
I
it
don't
opens
know.
The
why,
door.
Why isn't it the same? He refused to stand.
Yeah, and also, the as we were just talking about, the Olympics are a time to cheer on these incredible athletes from around the world, and many of them are allies. I mean, it's not like it's it's not like here, let's now cheer for Libya, let's cheer for this, let's cheer for that. You know, come on. I don't understand it. I think it was a poor choice.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to John, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Cosby here at WABC. Johnny?
Hi, John.
Hey, listen, it's just totally wrong. I had, on perhaps on the Ima show today, I got the impression from Bernard that he had not stood for the Korean thing because the son, I mean, the father of the son of the boy who was sort of killed in North Korea.
Yes, and by the way, John, you're right. Otto Warmbier, who was the guy who was killed, we know that came back in horrible shape and died soon after he came back from North Korea.
Right.
He was with the father of Otto Warmbier. But my point, even on the South Korean team, and Curtis's point is it was every country, and that's a huge issue. My point also on South Korea is it was a unified team. Most of those athletes were from South Korea. It wasn't like,
right,
here's the North Korean,
right,
regime. You know, if somebody said, here's Hitler's team, you think I would not be standing up either. But it wasn't.
Well, you could see where he might have drawn the line there. But to not stand for Canada, to not stand for
Japan.
Yeah.
Japan. I mean, it's just, it's silly. Now,
France.
I do know, having been in a military high school and been in the color guard, that the United States never dips its colors to another flag.
Yeah, but that's totally different. Here it
totally
is. The spotlight
different.
Was on our vice president representing us, and he chose, whether it was in communication with the White House or on his own, not to stand for any national anthem other than our own, which would seem to reinforce this philosophy, America first. We're the only one that counts in the world. To hell everybody else. America first and foremost. Anyway, let's go to the phones, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from the Hudson Valley. Welcome to Curtis and Cosby here.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
I think that he had no choice. I mean, it was a great thing that the South Koreans and North Koreans had their athletes join together. But the fact that he had the father there of the student that was detained and ultimately came back and passed away, I think he had no choice. If he stood up, he was saying, you know, yes, I salute the flag of these people that killed your son.
But what about all the other teams? Mike, what about all the other teams? Curtis is saying his point is it went beyond that. And first of all, I think because it was a unified team, he should have stood because it was with South Korea. South Korea was like predominantly, if you look at the athletes, North Korea didn't even send that many athletes. They sent some, and they sent the sister of Little Rocket Man. But at that moment, it was mostly South Korean athletes. So I actually think he should have stood. And then what about all the other countries, Mike? What do you make of that?
Well, I think, you know, if you're going to stand for one, you know, if you're going to stand for all of them, that's one thing. But I think, you know, personally, I would have stood for the other countries, especially since lots of those are our allies. But in the case of the combined team from North Korea and South Korea, I don't think he had any.
Right. But he chose to extend it to all countries other than our own, the United States. And boy, did that look selfish. That did not put us in a very good light as leader of the free world.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to Murph from Connecticut. Murph, you're here with Curtis and Cosby. Go ahead, Murph.
Hey, guys, good morning. Yeah, unequivocally, you got to stand in that position. What he does is he explains to the family the sensitivity of that situation to the family next to him, you know, what he's going to do. And your boy cut in other ways. I mean, he's representing us, and it's pretty
silly. I'm with you, too, Murph.
With this.
I'm with you, because I think you say, listen, and if there's ever a chance for, like, any sort of diplomacy, there's a moment. And I think not doing it, it doesn't help things. I'm with you.
Let's go to Bobby in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Curtis and Cosby here on WABC. Bobby.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, Rita. And hi, Curtis. You guys, okay. I don't love you. Curtis, you're putting your chin out there, you're going to get sucker punched. I know you grew up with guys like this in the neighborhood. Hey, how you doing, pal? How's it going? Hey, you turn the corner, you go stab that guy in the back. That's what South Korea is falling for with North Korea. Never should have combined the team. Second thing, we're sent over there with a protocol. If you travel for the United States, they follow the protocol. So don't make Pence to be a bad guy.
Whoa, what
right
protocol?
Now,
you don't stand for the Japanese team, the Canadian team, the Italian team, our allies? Is that what you're saying? That's protocol?
by pick and choose. If you pick and choose, you'd be like, oh,
oh. So Italy, what is that? Italy, Japan, and Canada is the equivalent of the combined Korean team that includes North Koreans, right?
What are you talking about? Numbers? I'm talking about policy. What are you
yeah,
talking?
Yeah. So Italy is a valued ally, right? We have military bases in Italy. Canada is a valued ally. England is a valued ally. Japan, a valued ally. We have military bases in those countries.
Poland.
Why would we not? Why would our vice president not stand for those countries?
You're a hater. If he did stand for one and not for the other, you'd be hating on him.
Oh, get out of here. Why? That's so full of... Just admit he was wrong. Admit he was wrong. You can't admit he was wrong?
Oh, whoa, he's a wimp.
But, By the way, did other international leaders not stand for our national anthem?
Well, that's what we need to find out. I'm curious on that one.
The answer is no.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. We need to find out. We need to find out unequivocally if that's the case. But one thing I will say about his point, I don't think this was a Pence decision. Nothing of this scale.
Is he a puppet?
I believe he is getting a message from the White House, clearly. This is so scripted. I'm sure there was a message saying, here's where we want you to stand.
Sort of like when he went to the Colts game and he walked out because there were players that were sitting.
Yes, and that was scripted too, I'm sure.
Because the players were sitting during the national anthem. But it's okay for him to sit to everybody else's national anthem.
And I think he should
have only
stood.
Stand
and
for
by
our
the
own.
Way, think about the flip side, Curtis, too. Think about what a great message that would have sent if he stood for everybody. Think about what a
but
great...
that's not America now. America is all about America first and to hell to everybody else.
And I think that is a sad message. I think, obviously, we have to care about our own, but we also have to respect others, too.
1-800-848-WABC. As we continue, up next, we've got to discuss a series of tweets that the president released over the weekend. He was in Washington, D.C. You were in Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on his winter White House. But everybody was buzzing about it, by the way, in Mar-a-Lago. Because the minute the president tweets, everybody tunes in. And there were a lot of the Trump team were there at Mar-a-Lago, by the way, which was interesting. And he came out and basically talked, of course, about Rob Porter. This was the staff member who has since now resigned, been told to leave after these wife-beating allegations, these very serious allegations. And it's an interesting dance because the president's close to him. He's been very close to the president. And the president tweeted out, basically, demand due process. And he's getting savaged on Twitter in response. And we're going to talk about that.
Due process? Lock her up! Lock her up! Lock her up! Central Park 5. Gee, never thought due process then. You know, not to mention any sympathy or empathy for the victims of this assaulter is a disgrazia, Mr. President.
And Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Go, and you can see.
Welcome back to Curtis and Cosby here. You're hearing a little bit of Rihanna, and part of the reason that you're hearing that, we are talking about the heat on President Trump, and he's getting a lot of heat because of the guy who was on his team. And by the way, there was another one that came out after that as well, who had some domestic abuse issues at the White House. But the big focal point is this guy named Rob Porter. And Rob Porter, who is no longer there, remember, he had this sort of limited access to the White House, which should have raised red flags. Curtis and I were talking about that on Friday. That alone should have raised some red flags. But he was close to the president, close to John Kelly, the chief of staff, and they kept him on. And then you got these pictures of this woman who's one of his ex-wives. He's got two of them. And one of them, where you see a big black eye, you see her all beat up, and she says he did it. And the president taking a lot of heat for not responding sooner. And this is what he had to say. This is what he said on Friday when he was first asked about it.
We wish him well.
He worked very hard. I found out about it recently, and I was surprised by it. But we certainly wish him well. It's a obviously tough time for him. He did a very good job when he was in the White House. It was very sad when we heard about it, and certainly he's also very sad. Now, he also, as you probably know, he says he's innocent. And I think you have to remember that. He said very strongly yesterday that he's innocent.
Hmm. And this comes, Curtis, too, over the weekend, where he also followed up with a tweet saying, what about due process? And John Kelly's taking a lot of heat because we haven't heard from him yet.
He was talking all about Porter in a very sympathetic, empathetic
way. Rob Porter.
But he never once mentioned his two wives, one of whom had to get an order of protection, both of whom went to the Church of the Latter-day Saints because they were Mormons and tried to get guidance in keeping their marriage together.
Although, let me say, Ivana, because I've actually talked to Ivana about it, she says that things get nasty during a divorce and she loves him now. So that's a little questionable.
Yeah, but we're talking assault here. We're talking a black eye. We're talking...
With Rob Porter. These are the allegations,
right? That's
right.
Porter claiming that this is all a setup. Well, who's setting him up? Was this fake news? These women have gone on record as having claimed that he assaulted them long ago when they had conversations with friends and relatives about the incidences that we're now reading about. The White House was well aware that he had problems in terms of violence against his wives many months ago and decided just to allow the ball to keep getting pushed forward. Don't worry about it. He doesn't have total security clearance
yet. Well, wait, but when you say total security clearance, what I think is so alarming about Rob Porter, this guy, is the fact, even if he didn't have, quote, total security clearance, he's the guy, and you see him in all the pictures, and I've seen Rob Porter. I mean, he's the guy who's handing the photo, here's, Mr. President, here's the briefings today, here's this. That's pretty, you almost don't get almost better security clearance.
He's weaning down all the information.
And handing it to the president.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not like somebody that you said, okay, well, we're going to let you, you know, be a custodian or librarian in the old executive office building in a separate physical building, and you'll have no access to the president we're screening you.
You would have to say, wait a second, this is a guy who's ripe to be blackmailed if he's allowed to remain in that sensitive position. You have two women, separate women that he was married to, gave interviews to the FBI. If they lie to the FBI, that's a crime.
And by the way, they've also done interviews, too. I saw at least one of them I know has done an interview. And I was watching the interview, and she seemed pretty compelling. And look, I will say, if something came about of somebody that I knew and really liked and loved and who was a colleague here at WABC or something, and somebody said, hey, guess what? This is in that person's background. I would at first defend them. I would say, listen, let's see what the women have to say, because I also am a big believer, obviously, a supporter in women. And I think it's important that they be listened to and heard. And I would absolutely give fair game to that. But I would also, I understand the natural instinct is at first to protect someone who you just don't believe it's true because you've seen the best side of them, you know?
Yeah, but the point is, he's addressed Porter's needs and never once mentions the two women or women in general who have been assaulted in society and have been given vicious beatdowns and have endured marriages in which they were the victims of physical abuse. There seems to have been not one ounce of sympathy or empathy for them, no mention of them. It was just Porter, hey, you know, he says it didn't happen. And then, back to back, belly to belly, one of his speech writers resigns because he, too, has been accused of being physically assaulted of his wife. And he's claiming, yeah, it's all a setup. So all of these things are setups. It's all fake news. Well, none of this is real.
And in fairness to the president, Curtis, he has said that he did not know. And so far, we have not heard that he necessarily knew all the details.
All right,
it
once
seems
he
that
did,
Kelly, right.
Once he did.
Well, once he did, the guy was gone.
It,
once
right.
he did,
but
apparently he's gone.
In his response on Twitter, he showed no empathy or sympathy for the woman, especially the one who had the black eye.
It's
didn't
fake.
Even mention it.
Yeah, he should have said something. I do believe in that. And listen, remember, just recently, there was an interview that he did with Piers Morgan, and that's been getting a lot of buzz. Let's play a little bit. This is what he said to Piers Morgan when he was asked, Are you a feminist?
No, I wouldn't say I'm a feminist. I mean, I think that would be maybe going too far. I'm for women. I'm for men. I'm for everyone.
And I will say, by the way, knowing President Trump, he is one of these people who kind of sees everybody equal, and I do believe that. And I think his tweet was out of loyalty to a guy that he just still can't believe was accused of these things, and this guy who still says he's innocent.
No.
But I think I agree with you. No, and I'll tell you, that's where I think it is.
If he condemns anybody out there, whether it's Judge Moore, Porter, or his former speechwriter, then fingers start coming back at him because of all the allegations that have been made against the president of the United States when he was Citizen Trump, about him being a perv,
about him harassing women. But see, by not doing it, it opens the door. By not doing it, I actually think the flip side, I think by not doing it, it's saying, whoa, wait a minute, and it opens the door to the things you're talking about. Let's go to the callers. Let's go to Leo from Warren, New Jersey. Again, everybody, it's 1-800-848-9222. Leo, you're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77 WABC.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. But my only question is, are we going to screen everybody in the federal government to the same extent we are screening Porter and the other guy?
By the way, we should, especially if they have access to the White House, Leo.
Oh, I don't feel that it has anything to do with access to the White House. I feel it has to do with an insult against humanity or an insult against women.
Wait. No. And listen, let me just tell you, I agree with you. I do not, and I hope you're going where I think you're going, because I do by no means. I am the first one. If anybody laid a hand on me, not only would I break him in half, I'd send Curtis and his team to break him in half. So that's for sure. On the other hand, especially when you're dealing with the president and you're dealing with sensitive things, like Curtis just brought up the blackmail thing, you don't want anybody with anything like that in his background. And clearly the guy's denying it. He didn't want it to come out.
Yeah, but I have one comment. The Bible says there is no man without sin.
There is, but you know what? There's no man who should work in the White House who's got blackmail material. End of story.
I agree with you.
It's a higher standard, Leo.
In Porter's case, he's saying he's set up. He's provided no documentary evidence or information to suggest that this was a setup.
Well, you know what's so weird, Curtis? He said he took that picture, and that's the weirdest thing. Like he's claiming that photo with her with the black eye that we've all seen out there. He's saying, oh, wait, there's a whole different version to that, and I took the picture. So let's hear your version.
Yes.
I agree with you. So explain to me the version.
If you were innocent and you already had the support of the chief of staff, General Kelly, and your latest girlfriend, Hope, and they were running a concerted effort to protect you from losing your job, why wouldn't you provide them with evidence and information that would buttress their support for you instead of when the picture came out, he was out of there?
Yeah, bingo. I absolutely agree, because they had all the backing. And if he had something that would have shown it otherwise, knowing it's in the background, this wasn't a surprise.
When I was growing up, you go to church on Sunday, and occasionally a woman would have a black eye, a shiner. And naturally,
did you see that a lot?
Not a lot, but on occasion. And immediately you were a bit jaundiced. Like, how did that happen?
All right, so I have to ask you, what did you do when you saw that?
Well, I was a kid. And excuse of the family was, Mom, walk into a door. Everybody always walks into a door.
Right.
You know, that's how they get their shiner. And then all of a sudden, I remember, it was 6 months later, and the woman had another shiner. And she supposedly fell and injured her eye. And I said to myself at that time, even though I was a kid, well, maybe she's a booze hound. You know, she's what I call skip and fall, you know.
Right, hitting
two steps forward, one steps backwards, Jake leg.
Just happens
she's
to
got
hit in the eye,
she
right?
She never gave me the impression she was a booze hound. But might well be that the father is assaulting her. And see, back then, nobody said anything. It was basically mind your own business. You know, that's that family's business.
Right.
If she has a problem, she'll deal with it. Don't make it your business. Well, nowadays, we have to make it our business.
You bet. And by the way, especially in right now, you know, women speak out, because my goodness, there is such a momentum now where you will be heard. And we always should have been heard.
Yeah, but you know, the president and also in tweeting away his support for his two former employees in the West Wing, who resigned as a result of these allegations, is really taking on the Me Too movement also.
Yeah, and that's why I think he missed an opportunity, as you're saying. And I want to hear what our callers think. It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Do you think, as I firmly believe, that he missed a moment where I understand you want to support somebody, you, and I would be shocked if it was one of the guys. Look, I work with, you know, how many? It's probably 90% men here, you know, that are at least on the on-air position, you know? And I think about if it was something that, believe me, if something ever happened with you, I'd be the first one out there banging and saying, no way, no way, no way. So I understand why you want to protect that person. And yet, I agree with you. He missed an opportunity to say, look, everybody deserves due process, but women also need to be heard and women should come forward.
Everybody deserves due process, but he hasn't conducted his life that way. I remember when he took the full page out, ad out on Central Park 5. I mean, most of us were all believing they did it, that they raped that jogger when she was 28 running through Central Park, the 5. They all ended up doing time. It was proven later that it was not their DNA. It was this psycho rapist killer. And then when the president, then Kennedy, was confronted with that information, he doubled down and insisted that they were guilty.
But now he is president. He wasn't president at the time.
I know,
I'm
but
just
you
saying,
say to yourself, what happened to the due process for the Central Park Five? Or even, you could say, it was jokingly done at the rallies. Lock her up! Lock her up! He certainly was firing up the crowd to lock up Hillary.
Oh, sure, sure. And also, now, though, as president of the United States, it's even a greater responsibility to make sure. And I agree with you. I think it was a completely missed opportunity. He is, I do believe, and I said this, it's funny, I had people early on, because they know that I've interviewed and spent time with the president. I've had people say to me, you know, why is he anti-women? No, he's not. He just takes on everybody.
Well, let's go, if we can, to Tina, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Tina?
Hi, guys.
Hi,
how
Tina.
Are you? I just have a question. I've been going through this for the past week and what's going on with this, all right? I don't understand two things. If you're being abused by a man, especially Harvey Weinstein and, you know, those kind of people, why don't you do something about it then? I just don't get it.
But now, wait, Tina, don't you think, though, as a woman, that a lot of people don't go, especially when it's somebody you love, like the Jennifer Willoughby came out and basically said, you know, at first, you know, I was married to the guy. I loved him. I kind of didn't really see it, and it sort of grew. It like he grabbed her in the shower, she said. And so some of it is, and you know, as a woman, it's hard sometimes
also,
to come forward.
Remember, a little different. A little different here, Tina.
And by the way, Kurt, I want to say, if something happened to me, I'd be at the police station or calling the phones within 30 seconds. But not everybody's that way.
These were absorbent Mormon women. They went to their church for counseling. They did not want to seek a divorce or go to the police. The elders of their church said, don't report him. He'll lose his career. It'll be sullied. And don't divorce him. Don't get an order of protection. So the church did no favors to these women.
No, they didn't. And so those obviously weren't the people to go to. Have to have the mindset as a woman today, okay? If something is happening to you, that's it. Okay.
Absolutely.
Like the Harvey Weinstein. Okay. You want a career, so you're going to give up yourself to this person? No.
No. And Tina, I agree with you. And Tina, I'm going to tell you a heartbreaking story. I'll never forget this. You know, when I was first starting in the business as a cup reporter, I covered a case in Bakersfield, California, Little Bakersfield, California, which great time there. But there was some rough stuff and stories. I remember interviewing a woman who had a witness protection order. You know, she had to go under a covert name, was waiting because the guy, her husband, he tried to shoot her, strangled her, everything you can imagine. So that's when I met her as a journalist talking to her. And she's like, you know, but I still sort of love him and he's getting out of prison. I said, do not love this man. Sure enough, he killed her when he got out of prison. And I will never forget that day. And this was a woman who kept saying, oh, you know, I'm so confused. I'm so, and to the point where they actually were offering her witness protection to change her name, to go, you know, move her life, her family, everything. And guess what? He tracked her down and killed her. And that is the most powerful message.
I'm still interested. Porter said he was set up.
Yeah, well, let's see it. Let's see it. I agree. Let's see it.
Where's the evidence?
Let's
see it. Forthcoming, hey, come on, you said it, pal.
And by the way, there are things that happen that way, but you're right. Where is it?
Ain't there. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And yesterday, Mark Short on Meet the Press was speaking on behalf of the president. Or at least he was.
I think the president is shaped by a lot of false accusations against him in the past, Chuck. But in talking to the president, I think he's saddened about what happened with Rob. I think he's very disturbed by it. And he's very disappointed in it. And I think that he believes that the resignation was appropriate.
And that's what we heard all weekend long, although Kellyanne Conway say she believes the women.
Yeah, she came out much more forceful. And by the way, Mark Short, of course, the White House Director of Legislative Affairs, you see him a lot speaking on behalf of the president. And General Kelly's taking a lot of heat, too.
But this reminds me of Judge Roy Moore when Trump's daughter said, I believe all the women. And then Trump took the exact opposite position of, he says he didn't do it.
Yeah, he needed to find some middle ground. I agree with you. Let's go to Steve from Rockland. You're here with Curtis and Cosby. Go ahead, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What do you think?
How about this for a straight-up comment? You know, I wish that I would have been one of those women that Rob Porter was married to. Would have been my sister, because he never would have made it to the White House. In fact, nobody
Bravo. Bravo, Steve. I love you. Okay. I agree. And again, listen, he says he's innocent, but come on.
Because no one would be able to where'd that guy Rob go? I don't know.
Well, you know the thing is, Steve, what I am shocked about is that he stayed in the White House with these allegations. And I'm all for checking out the allegations because, look, guys sometimes make false allegations against women. Women sometimes make false allegations. But in this era, in any era, there should have been huge red flags.
Well,
huge
remember,
red flags.
Remember, Hope Hicks all of a sudden was his new amour. She's got the ear of the president.
Which is, and by the way, very close. Hope Hicks has been with, by the way, was with Ivanka for a long time and then moved over.
So
and
she was protecting her boyfriend.
She believed in him. I don't know. You know, I think
Don't you think she should have recused herself from that conversation?
Yes.
She's having a relationship with him and they're determining
absolutely.
His fate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think they just did not want to believe what was, you know, what's now being alleged, you know? Come on.
I'm wondering if they're all that opposed to that kind of misogynist, sexist behavior in the White House.
I do not believe that Hope Hicks, I do not believe the president.
Hope Hicks.
I do not. Yes, you did. You just said you thought Hope Hicks.
The president is a sexist and misogynist. That's obvious.
You think
Let's
Hope
go
Hicks.
To Doug
no way.
In New Jersey.
No
Welcome
way.
To Curtis and Cosby here on WABC. Doug?
Yes, hi.
Doug, by the way, Doug, what did you think of Curtis just lumping everybody in the White House as being misogynist? Go ahead. Come on.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
And by the way, he has hired more women in his companies. I do think he should have phrased it differently. He has hired more women in his companies in senior positions and in the White House.
Huh?
Come on.
Maybe that's how he sized them up, huh?
No way. Yeah, Go ahead. Go ahead, Doug.
I wanted to say, because I hear a hint in Curtis's voice of some kind of a hatred towards the Mormon church. And the reason I say that is because you're lumping him and the fact that the Mormon church has a lot of men and it's men oriented.
No, the elders gave the women the advice not to report Porter because it would jeopardize his career. That happens to be a fact.
I know for a fact because I...
Oh, so what was the advice that they gave the two wives?
The church has advice right now, and it's been that way for years, about abuse of women in the marriage.
What advice did the elders give these two women who were married to Porter, who were observant Mormons, since they went to the elders of their church?
No, the elders are not. The elders are the bishop. The bishop is the only
okay.
one.
Okay.
Yeah, but now you're parsing words, Doug.
Are you calling these two women liars? Faithful Mormon women.
No, what I'm calling them is the fact that they've been divorced. They've already been through an interview with their bishops. They should not have gone public at all.
Oh, no. Just shut your mouths and shut up, you
they shouldn't have gone public. Curtis is like so riled up. You got to be kidding me. Doug,
this guy's a Mormon too.
Doug, you got to see Curtis's face is redder than his hat.
Do you realize what you just said, Doug? They should have shut their mouths. Shouldn't have done nothing.
No, I didn't say that.
Yes, you did.
Doug, you did. You did. Maybe it's misunderstood, but you did.
Get rid of Doug.
Already.
Doug said that. I am. Where is that coming from? Yeah, that they should have shut their mouth.
I know where it's coming from.
Yeah, and that's scary.
I know damn well where it's coming from.
By the way, that is scary in this day and age that somebody, and listen, maybe he didn't mean what he said, but I heard it too, Curtis. I wasn't punching the microphone like you were, but I heard it too.
Anyway, up next, there she was, Senator Kirsten, and I call her Hillebrand. And boy, did she do the rope-a-dope.
Oh, my goodness. And by the way, remember I did that big interview with Hillary Clinton, and she suddenly came out the day before saying, you know, Bill should have resigned. Now she's rope-a-doping, dope-a-roping.
Up next, Senator Kirsten Hillebrand, the main inquisitor, couldn't handle a question about Hillary herself. But first, let's get our news headlines and updates from Lisa.
Chasing it down every day. Live. Curtis Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
She's crafty. She gets around. She's crafty.
She's always down.
She's crafty.
She's got it great.
She's crafty. And she's just my type.
She's crafty.
And welcome back to Curtis and Cosby here on 77 WABC. And Kirsten Gillibrand, well, she was doing the rope-a-dope. And look, I think it's pretty clear she is eyeing the prize. She is trying to be president of the United States. I don't think she's as interested in being senator of New York. And here's a little bit. She's going after everybody and now trying to kind of, she's boxed in by some of her comments, but she clearly is mincing no words about President Trump.
Once President Trump was elected, I think something changed, and I think it changed for women.
Do you think he'll be held accountable in any way?
I think he should resign, and if he's unwilling to do that, which is what I assume, then Congress should hold him accountable. We are obligated to have hearings.
Everybody has to have hearings, but yet she was going after Bill Clinton right before my interview with Hillary Clinton. She said Bill Clinton should have resigned, and now she's kind of backpedaling a little on that. She was also trashing Al Franken. But then when she was asked about Al Franken on 60 Minutes, this is what she had to say.
You're a lawyer. You believe in due process. Why not allow...
He's entitled to as much due process as he wants. He doesn't ever have to resign. That's his choice.
But it feels
And my choice is to speak out.
But it feels like to be accused right now is to be convicted.
That's not right. That's not true.
And then, of course, the whole thing with Kirsten Gillibrand, one of the first things that she kind of we all went, whoa, she came out of the blue suddenly when all the stuff was percolating with Me Too, right at the height of it all, at the very beginning, when she came out and she said suddenly, remember, she's a Democrat. She's such good buddies with the Clintons. She's one of their biggest allies. She has been. They have been two of her biggest supporters. She suddenly came out, said, under today's standards, Bill Clinton should have resigned. Well, of course, the obvious question, and I would have been grilling her, too, if she was doing an interview with me. I would have said to her, listen, so what do you think about Hillary Clinton? What do you think about Bill Clinton? Well, here's the little rope-a-dope, Curtis.
I wasn't focused on it in the way I am today. I didn't have that lens.
What do you mean that had that
All
lens?
Of us. Yeah. I think I'm not alone here. Like, how many of us were having this conversation even a year ago?
We're learning.
I think we're all learning.
She didn't do anything about it then. Oh, well, we weren't focused on it, and that's the reason she let it go? Well, of course, I had to ask Hillary Clinton about it when I did the big interview with her back on November 17th, is what Hillary said.
Could I?
Yeah, go ahead.
Before you do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Could I hear that again? Boy, is that a spin, if ever I've heard a spin.
Yeah.
And notice,
it's
I
like
call
Sybil.
Her Senator Kirsten Hillebrand, because she did stick the shiv into Hillary.
I wasn't focused on it in the way I am today. I didn't have that lens.
What do you mean that had that
All
lens?
All of us.
Yeah.
I think I'm not alone here. Like, how many of us were having this conversation even a year ago?
We're learning.
I think we're all learning.
Wait a minute. Okay, let me just say something. As a woman, I covered all the Bill Clinton stuff. We were focused on it then. This is a woman who's trying to be on the forefront of, like, women's issues, which is why she spoke out about Bill Clinton and why she did the comments about Al Franken and everything and put the shiv in Hillary and Bill Clinton. Oh, but we weren't focused on it then. Now, guess what? Now she gets some headlines, and that's why she's doing it?
Now, I remember, Rita, the interview you did exclusively with Madam Hillary Rodham Clinton. And it resonates today. I keep hearing it on the 24-hour cable news stations. I'm trying to remember word for word verbatim. What was Hillary's response to the backstabbing, the Judas-like method that Hillebrand all of a sudden
treated both Bill and Hillary with.
Well, take a listen. Here it is.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what she was trying to say. There has been some confusion about it. But look, this was a painful time, not only in our marriage, but in our country, as I've written about. But it was investigated fully. It was addressed at the time. He was held accountable. That is very different than what people seem to be remembering from that period.
And, you know, it's funny because I went back to her. Well, what do you think of your friend putting the shiv in your back?
Right.
You know, and I'm not sure what she was saying. You could tell Hillary Clinton just didn't know what to say about that.
It was such a long, drawn-out process. We had impeachment in the House. It was then kicked up to the Senate for a Senate trial.
Impeached but not removed
right.
was the end result.
So I think it was Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton who were the only ones not to be removed. President Nixon at the time opted, I ain't going
resigned.
Before the Senate.
Right.
Because they're going to find me guilty. You know, it's going to be a slam dunk.
Right,
I'm out of here.
Right, I'm leaving.
Americans need to know. Your president is not a crook. And there he was on his way to San Clemente.
On his way. But now she can't wait to skewer President Trump. And yet, here it is. Oh, we weren't focused on it at the time. Give me a break.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Linda, who's calling from Princeton. Welcome to Curtis and Cosby here on WABC. Linda?
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Curtis and Rita. Kirsten Gillibrand, and I'm a Democrat, okay? She just said, we're all learning. I actually heard an NPR host say, well, I thought sexual harassment went out the door with women's liberation, the feminist movement. I'm like, are these people nuts?
Right, are they retarded? Yeah, I am just learning. And like you said, as if this hasn't been around forever, it just wasn't politically expedient for her to be saying something back then.
Right, but they've got staffers in their offices. The newscasters have research people. They know this has been going on.
It has been. And for her to come out now and make it sound like it is all so politically. And now, don't you think, Linda, and I, you heard what I just said. I think she is clearly focusing on trying to run for president. And she's trying to do a little ballet dance around all the answers.
And you know what? I'd have more respect for them because they're still going to get elected. OK, people are going to vote against Republicans. Just come out and say, you know what? I'm a careerist. I recognize things when they're convenient, when they don't, I don't.
By the way, wouldn't that be refreshing?
Yes, right. See,
that would be refreshing.
Remember, what happened during the Clinton years is to the women that were closest to him in the administration, he would do memory nourishment. Remember Betty Curry,
yes.
His personal secretary,
of
with
course.
The cat socks
yep.
that nobody has heard from since.
Right.
Whatever happened to socks, the cat.
That's right. That's
I
right.
Mean, all of a sudden, you know, it's
I
almost
love
like
socks.
Maybe Bill Clinton took hostage socks, who was so beloved
socks?
By Betty Curry. And remember,
right.
he sat in his
socks
office and
was
he said,
the best thing about the White House.
Betty, I want you to come in. I want to nourish your memory on what happened with Monica Lewinsky. And then I'll never forget, like deer staring into the headlights. It was Madeleine Albright, his Secretary of State, Donna Shillelagh, his other cabinet member.
Health and Human Services, yes.
Standing there, and the reporters were asking him, do you believe the president?
Right.
When he says that, you know, this is all part of a
right-wing conspiracy.
Right-wing conspiracy.
And nod your head up
and
down.
And they were like, oh, God.
Well, that's why.
Yeah.
And then to see Kirsten Gillibrand now, who, you know, where was her passion? When Bill Clinton was in office, where was her passion? Where were all the women, both sides of the aisle back then? Come on.
To her credit.
Some Republicans were, but no Democrats. Come on, where were you?
To her credit, as much as I don't like Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, she took on the Joint Chiefs of Staff over the fact that they were not protecting women in the military from the pervs amongst them.
Yes, and she has done a good job on that, but on this issue, how dare she try to look like
remember,
she's the moral barometer? Come on, where
tested,
were you when they were when
well,
you were collecting money from them?
She tested the waters. She claimed that when she first entered the Senate, remember, she was the chosen replacement of the schmuck, don't make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, for Clinton, who was becoming Secretary of State, for Barack Obama, the choice of both the billionaire Mayor Bloomberg at the time and Barack Obama was Caroline Kennedy, who couldn't chew gum and think at the same time. So she's elevated to the Senate, and she says that when she went into the cloakroom,
some of the U.S. senators perved her who are still serving. Now,
right. So why hasn't she called them
right.
out? I now, remember
I don't
that.
Doubt
That's
it.
Right.
I don't.
By the way,
I don't doubt it.
I don't doubt it either. So
but,
why has she not called them out? What's
well,
the deal with that?
They're Democrats.
Well, but that's what I'm saying to you.
Let's
why
face
has
it.
She not? Exactly. You were. I remember that
they're
moment
Democrats.
When she came out. So why has she not called them out? And why has she not been one of the leaders on this bill of, you know, sunlight on these people? All we have seen, for most part, is, especially in the House, Barbara Comstock, who I know well. And Barbara, Republican from Virginia, and also she's got a few Democrats in the House who are by her side, by the way, on that. That is a bipartisan effort. Debbie Dingell, I think, is one of them, John Dingell's wife. And the two of them have been out there doing the roadshow saying, let's see sunlight. Where is Kirsten Gillibrand saying, hey, listen, I know the names.
Sure.
Come on.
Well, give us at
You're
least
right.
one.
Come on.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. No, it's not the guy's fault. No, Utah legislators feel they're being preyed on by hookers.
This is wild, and they need a buddy because these poor, evil women who just happen to show up naked in their hotel rooms, well, they're the bad ones.
They forced their way in.
Somehow they ended up there.
They do invasions into their room.
The buddy system. You cannot wait. You got to hear this story. You got to stick with us because this one is going to blow your mind.
Oh, it's not their fault that they've sinned. It's the process. Prostitute's fault that they made them sin.
Help me.
Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sleeve.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis
Cosby.
77 WABC.
Yeah, now we know why she was the diva of all divas of disco music. And where was she from? Vineland, New Jersey?
Yeah, she was. She was. And then spent a lot of time, by the way, in Connecticut, too, as well.
Mm.
Not in Utah.
Anyway, the diva of all divas singing about bad girls. And it is so appropriate as we are high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us by NJDiet.com that has kept us nice and warm and toasty. Rita Cosby and yours truly, Curtis Sliwa. But outside, the hawk is talking. And after a weekend in which it was like you were ready to find Noah's Ark on Sunday, boy, what a deluge. You were wondering, gee, you know, why not Cape Town, South Africa, where they're going to run out of water by May 1st, you know, instead of us having flooding conditions all throughout the tri-state area.
You know, I don't know. I was in sunny Mar-a-Lago, you know. So.
Oh, Mar-a-Lago. are you a billionaire or a millionaire?
Yeah.
How did you get to Mar-a-Lago?
I just said, I know Curtis Sliwa, you know, and they said, oh my God, get in here. No more. No moss.
Put you out on the demonstration lines nearby.
In fact, we're going to put some pictures up later today. I do have a picture up on my Twitter and also on Curtis and Cosby. And if you're not following us yet, make sure that you follow us on Twitter. Also like us on Facebook because we will have some great exclusive stuff there. As you know, stuff that we talk about on the show, but also some great reasons to go on because we have a lot of new stuff that we constantly put up on our social media. So make sure that you follow us. And by the way, Curtis, too, also some very alarming news just in, too, is that Vanessa Trump, this is Donald Trump Jr.'s wife and the president's daughter-in-law, has been rushed to the hospital in the last few hours. We have gotten word that she opened a letter that was addressed to their home, to Donald Trump Jr. and Vanessa's home on East 54th Street in New York City, and it was addressed to her husband, Donald Trump Jr. She opened it up. Apparently, there was some unknown white substance, white powder, and of course, that's so scary, you know, with all these anthrax scares and everything else that we've covered through the years. And as a precaution, they have taken her to the hospital in New York at New York Presbyterian Hospital, is being reported. And they don't believe that there was a threat in terms of what was in the envelope. They believe that it was not something toxic, but still very scary stuff. And as a precaution, they rushed her to the hospital. We'll keep you posted. Make sure you stay tuned here on 77 WABC for the latest on that.
Oh, we certainly wish you the best.
Absolutely.
Well, we haven't heard of situations like this since after 9/11. When there was a spate of anthrax attacks,
right.
The New York Post, governor's office at the time,
and
George
also remember the media company down in Florida too, who also received that too. Remember where the guy
Inquirer.
Died? Where the guy died?
Right.
Remember the guy who opened it?
But with Governor Pataki, he was so paranoid by what he perceived to be an anthrax attack, he was popping Cipro. Remember,
yes.
As a prophylactic, as a preventative measure, and it was real. And remember, at that time, we were blaming this Rhodesian doctor. Who had a house. Apparently he had gone to LSU, taught at LSU. He had a house in the Beltway. And he was like almost impossible to deal with. He made it so you wanted to believe it was him. He was such an angry guy. And they drained the fake little pond in the back. Took all the fish out because they thought that he was assembling the anthrax.
That's right.
Under
that's
the
right.
water in
yes.
envelopes. And then remember, it was always being mailed from like a Trenton address,
yes.
Trenton in that area. Well, it turned out it wasn't him.
Right. Remember that poor guy's life was upside down.
Well, the FBI
like,
was.
It was almost like Richard Jewell. Remember Richard
right,
Jewell during
Richard
the Olympics?
Jewell.
They said, okay, he's got to be the guy. And it turned out to be Eric Robert Rudolph.
Right. But the Rhodesian anthrax professor, he was in Washington, D.C., and the FBI was tailing him, and he was crossing the street, and he stopped because the lights had changed, and the FBI agent trailing him hit him, and he, like, made mega millions of dollars in a lawsuit
right.
against the FBI, and then we never heard of the guy
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, you know why? Because he's hanging out at Mar-a-Lago. You know, he can afford membership fees at Mar-a-Lago.
But let
That's
me tell
why.
You something, ladies and gentlemen. If you're an elected official in the state of Utah...
This story is unbelievable.
Be careful if you're in the state legislature, because on Friday, they had a press conference in which they were warning their fellow male members of honeypots... that apparently, like, pods had been planted all around Salt Lake City because it had
been... You got to explain what a honeypot is. You know what
right.
I knew what a honeypot was. You did, too.
A honeypot is somebody who, like a Venus flytrap, a woman, in this case a prostitute, who will lure you in and then obviously blackmail you, maybe have pictures taken or documentary evidence or whatever, but set you up. And they're claiming that this happened to one of their state legislators. It's a young man named Standard, age 43. In fact, the reason he was set up, they claim, was that he had voted for tougher penalties for prostitution. But he quit the state legislature earlier in the week, according to the House Speaker in Utah, because of personal and family issues that they traced to him being with a prostitute on two separate occasions and being lured by this honeypot into a situation that would destroy his political life. So,
now, you know what's interesting, though, with this case, and,
yeah.
and what's fascinating, on one hand, if you look at it, this other legislator says that somehow a honeypot lured him to the same hotel as the Standard guy,
yeah.
same M.O.,
lured him,
and said, my favorite is, showed up, said, I'm your date, she got in the room, I don't know how, she hung out with me, I don't know how. This is the most unbelievable, so they're proposing a buddy system.
That's right. State legislators, when you're in session in Salt Lake City, which is the equivalent of Trenton in New Jersey or Albany in New York, don't go around on your own when it's time
it's
for you
dangerous.
To get some sleep, because they're naturally staying in either no-tell motels, Holiday Inn Expresses,
yes.
Motel 6s, Super 8s, you know, or luxury hotels. Do not take a room on your own. Make sure you have a buddy. It's like Major League Baseball used to have when they would travel. For instance, Billy Martin, when he was a rookie, you know, they partnered her up with in the Yankees, Joe DiMaggio.
Yes, I remember
that. So they would have a senior member of the team with the junior member to keep the junior member out of trouble, but oftentimes it was the senior member who would get the junior member into trouble because they'd go carousing.
Right, I was going to say, that's a bad combo. But in this case, it's so funny that it's like, okay, so these evil, cruel, horrible honeypots, who are setting you up and suddenly show up naked in your hotel room. That's terrible. So to protect you from that, we're going to send a buddy. This is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard.
This is what they're saying, and I'm sure we'll get a carbon copy of this the next time a legislator is busted in Trenton or Albany.
So does anyone feel sorry for the guys? That's what I got to ask. Does anybody out there feel sorry for these guys that they are being, these honeypots happen to show up naked in their hotel rooms, and these poor, poor men who are thrust into this situation? It's 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. 222 here on Curtis and Cosby.
All right, so this is what they're saying is happening. They get their hotel room. They've gone out for dinner. They've taken care of their business for the night. They're retiring for the night. They go into their room. And all of a sudden, unexpectedly, it's not like they were expecting a guest. Somebody to knock at the door.
Right.
They go. They open the door. And it's a woman who's butt naked. She's in her... she's showing all of her endowments.
Yes, and says, I'm your date.
Right, I'm your date. And he goes, but I don't want a date. I don't need a date. And then they claim the woman is rushing into the room.
Right.
And insisting that she's his date and she is there to take care of him for the evening. And so these legislators are saying that they don't know what to do, that they feel like they're emasculated, like they're impotent, like... What are we going to do? So rather than depend on their ability either to call the front desk or to call the police or whatever, now they're going to buddy up in the room, and this is going to prevent this from taking place. So they can also have an eyewitness to what is transpiring, because apparently nobody believes them when they tell these stories.
Well, I just can't believe that nobody would believe them. That's just unbelievable to me.
Let's find out.
Good Mormon men.
Yeah, let's find out from our many listeners out there, is it conceivable? Now, there have been many men who have been on the road, whether they're truckers, whether they're businessmen,
whether
plumbers,
they're politicians.
Executives, right, politicians. And look, I've had women come and knock on my door at a Motel 6 or a Super 8.
All right, so let's hear your stories, because...
Had that happen in Moscow. That's how I knew what they were talking about in that dossier.
And you, by the way, you know exactly when that happens. You know. And listen, there are setups. There are no questions. I know PIs out there who specifically have these beautiful women out there, and what they do, you know, their services is no secret out there. There's all these different ones out there, and they're services who kind of, most of the time it's obviously, you know, girls, you know, trying to set up the guy. Sometimes it's the other way around. But here it is, a case with these women, these gorgeous women go to a bar, and suddenly, you know, he's out there having a drink, and, you know, the next thing they know, they strike up a conversation, and guess what? They're taking pictures so then they can use it in your divorce case.
Right. But the point is like, the man is helpless. They're describing the man as being helpless.
Right.
He's being set up. When they end up in his room, it's because they bum rush into the room and he had no way to extricate them. Does anybody believe that story? Or do they have a similar situation that they can relate it to?
Yeah, have you ever been set up like that? I got to hear, by the way, and if you have been set up, I can't wait for you to share that story.
848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, we got to assume it's Utah, where about 60% of the population is Mormon.
Yep.
I would think probably a similar percentage of the elected men to the state legislature are probably a reflection of that.
So are the women Mormon?
Well, number one,
what do you think?
Remember, we learned from Mitt Romney when he was running for president, he wears that miracle underwear that Mormon men and women wear. It would take him like 10 minutes to get all that garb off if he had the desire, the urge to merge.
Now, what about also Mike Pence? You know, Mike Pence has an interesting strategy. Again, he's not Mormon, but he has come out to avoid situations like that. And he's a vice president now. Travels with his wife or has other staffers with him.
That's right.
He does the same thing. And I understand that at that level right now.
Male staffers, by the way.
Yeah, male staffers. Yes, because he says he does not want any issues for that reason.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to James in Larchmont. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. James?
Hi, James.
Okay, hi, Rita. Hi, Curtis. First of all, I thought this only happened to Elvis getting his hotel room bum rushed by chicks, but this is a tactic that's used in China. The Chinese government does this to American businessmen all the time. They have women come up to the hotel room, 4 or 5 chicks come up. Whatever your advice is, they're going to supply it to you. And that's how they basically...
But do you feel sorry for the guys? And listen, it does happen in China, and Curtis was talking about it in Moscow. Yeah, I mean, but do you feel sorry for the guys? I mean, don't take the bait, especially when you know that that's the case.
Well, I mean, the Neil Bush deposition is divorced. He was not a guy out. He was in China doing a lot of business, and that was part of his divorce. But the bottom line is, if a chick comes to your hotel room and you say no thanks and she goes away, that's one thing. But, I mean, if they start firebombing chicks into your room, I think I'd have to let the guy off.
Wait a minute. I knew that is there anybody else who's going to let the guy off? What do you think?
Man. I don't think his wife will let him
off. Yeah. I don't know about that. Let's go to Bobby from Westchester. You're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77 WABC.
Hi, guys. This is Bobby. I just wanted to ask you a question. A little while ago, you guys were carrying on about the woman with the black eye and you have to believe the victim. How come the guys don't get the same courtesy?
And they should get the same courtesy, although, you know what, typically, you know, I hate to say it. Wait a minute. No, wait a second, Bobby. Are you trying to say I would feel the same way if I saw a guy with a black eye? I would say the exact same thing.
Oh, I don't think so.
By the way, Bobby, you can read my mind. I know so. And Bobby, if you knew me,
guilty,
I'd stand up for anybody who's being falsely accused.
Bobby
knows me better than I know myself.
Bobby, these politicians are not staying at Motel 6s or Super 8s, which give you easy access.
Bobby's telepathic. He knows my mind.
There's
hotel security. This hotel
says you did something, you're guilty.
Yeah, what is it? There's hotel security downstairs. You can call the desk. You can call the police. How does a prostitute force herself to have sex with you?
A little dead silence, Bobby. Oh, suddenly Bobby's silent.
Yeah, Bobby can't explain that.
Yeah, Bobby can't explain that. They just suddenly show up.
Remember.
Right, Bobby's telepathic, but boy, when he has a real question, he can't answer
According to these state legislators.
Telepathic,
the
baby.
Hookers, and I never knew that Salt Lake City was a major denizens of hookers were there. And
well,
I've
it
spent
is.
Time there.
By the way, it is. And actually, I did know that because I have done a number of stories there in Salt Lake City. And it's always these places where you sort of don't expect it, because guess what? You know, they're looking for love. They're looking for this. They're looking for what they can do behind the scenes,
but there's
baby.
There's only one way they can get into your room.
Yes, hello.
And that is you have
answer
to give them access to your room.
Right.
And if they're unwanted, it's sort of like when, let's say, Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons come to your door, right? What do people do? They don't open the door, right?
Yeah, you look in the peephole. You go, okay,
right.
Do
these
I want to talk to them?
These are missionaries. They're not up to no good. But
and
you
someone
don't
says, I'm your date, and you're married, and you got five kids. Right. Now, listen, I will give somebody the benefit of the doubt if it's in, like, a foreign country. And by the way, there are cases where somebody, like, you know, which is why you always want to be careful with your drink. Somebody slips you a drink, something in your drink or something like that. I mean, there are cases where there's, you know, obvious setups, but if you are conscious of mind and you consciously open the door, you pay the price, baby.
And I'm saying to myself, here are Mormons who had to fight their way from Western New York, where they were under attack because they had a different kind of religion. Settled in Ohio, were driven out of there. Settled in Illinois, driven out of there. Settled in Missouri. A Missouri militia was pitched against them.
Right.
Settled in Utah with Brigham Young. A third of the United States Army was dispatched by President Buchanan to put them down. And they withstood all of that.
But they can't handle a
but hookers
a horrible
knocking on their door. I'm your date. Open up. Oh, no.
I surrender.
What do I do?
I surrender.
1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. By the way, a great continued interview with Michael Wolff this past Saturday by the queen of talk radio, Joan Hamburg.
Absolutely.
And you can actually get it on the special podcast that we have set up, OG Podcast Network. That's OGPodcastNetwork.com. And in terms of Joan Hamburg, you know what the OG stands for.
I would say original gangster Joan Hamburg. Do you see her? I usually don't think of original gangster and Joan Hamburg in the same statement, although she's pretty hip.
Original gangstress. Now, we need to follow this election that's taking place with all the problems of guys perving on women, sexually harassing them in government, whether elected or appointed. There's a unique candidate, a female, in Michigan.
I love this. I love this stance.
She's running for the state attorney general, and she says, when choosing your next state attorney general, who can you trust to not show you their penis? It's the candidate who doesn't have a penis.
That sounds like something Hillary Clinton should have used. Maybe she should have been more direct when she was running for president.
But it will be interesting to see how that resonates.
Well, I would like to see the ads. I have not seen the campaign ads. No penis, vote for me.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Right. Well, because remember, there's got to be a lot of voters out there who are saying, why don't I just vote for the woman? They don't seem to have these kind of problems that guys do, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, liberals, or conservatives.
I mean, I think you vote for us because we're smarter in general, but that's a whole other theory, you know?
Well, as long as you're not neurotic, as long as you're not hormonal, you may be right about that.
I knew I'd get you to agree, finally.
But
Curtis.
Anyway, up next, believe it or not, I actually agree with comrade Bill de Blasio.
Wait a minute. Stop the press.
Yes.
Stop the press.
The part-time mayor, the dope from Parks Slope. But right now, let's get our news headlines and updates from Lisa Ritchie.
The best contacts.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
The best sources.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Chasing it down. Curtis and Cosby, 77 WABC.
My heart to remember the dreams we depended upon.
What a set of pipes. I remember my aunt, Louise, would listen to Vic Damone, and I'd say, hey, aunt, well, why are you listening to Vic Damone? Right? Because everybody at that time, it was either Sinatra, Dean Martin, Jerry Vale. My mother loved Jerry Vale.
Yep.
And the guy with the sweater, I'm trying to remember, he came from Pennsylvania and then all of a sudden lived out in Long Island. It'll come to me in a moment, but Vic Damone was Mr. Brooklyn, Mr. Bensonhurst.
By the way, and very handsome and eloquent. And I will tell you also, a number of the biggest singers of that era, and I remember them telling me years later that they thought Vic Damone had the best voice.
That's
so
right.
Even singers said he is the best.
Right out of Bensonhurst. But more importantly, he broke the color line long before comrade Bill de Blasio thought of having Jungle Fever based on the Spike Lee movie where you have a black and a white together. He married, out of the many marriages he had, Diana Carroll.
That's right. The beautiful Diana Carroll, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She was drop-dead gorgeous.
Yes.
She was in Julia, a whole bunch of other productions. They were quite the couple. And remember, at the time that interracial marriage took place, I was like, what?
Yes, so ahead of his time and truly in love. And the reason we're also talking about Vic Damone, we just got the sad news that he passed away Sunday. And it's interesting because I was in Mar-a-Lago yesterday. Yeah. I was there for a big Polish group and some others, and meeting with some of the Trump team there too as well at the Winter White House. And one of the last, I've been at the Mar-a-Lago a number of times, but one of the times that I do remember very well, I got to spend the day with Vic Damone. And it was at a time that I was at the Mar-a-Lago. We went to the golf course, I remember, together too as well. And I was with Vic and his latest wife, who was one of the head folks at Jones of New York, the beautiful Jones of New York clothing line. I wear some of their clothes. And at that time, this was a couple of years ago, and Vic Damone, even back then, was sharp as a tack. It was singing to me, and it was just a really special time, and he passed away.
What
just died yesterday in Miami Beach.
You could not have been any further away from the subways than where you were, Mar-a-Lago, where basically
sure.
The pedigree is you got to be a millionaire or billionaire to afford being a country club member there.
Or have a millionaire smile like me, Curtis.
But I couldn't believe that I was actually in sync with comrade Bill de Blasio.
I can't believe this either.
On the whole fare evasion issue. Now, just to sort of recap it. First, you had Cyrus White Shoes Vance.
The DA.
Right. Best known for, if you give me a political contribution, I'll let your client go. He had come out and stated that he would no longer be processing arrests for fare evasion in the borough of Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. And he's saying, you know, an overload of cases and there's other things to set priority on. And
right. That was also duplicated by the DA in Kings County in Brooklyn.
Yep.
So they're basically telling the cops, go ahead, knock yourself out. You want to arrest people for fare evasion, for jumping the fare? We're not going to prosecute. We're just going to dismiss.
And Jimmy O'Neill, the commission, New York police commissioner, to his credit, came out and said, no, we want you to arrest people. We want them to be held accountable. And it kind of comes from the Bill Bratton school of things, of, you know, you don't let some of these smaller crimes, you know, go unreported because then it leads to bigger things.
Well, it's called zero tolerance, broken windows theory.
And I agree with them.
The mayor has said, remember, he decriminalized the use of marijuana in the street where it's a ticketable offense, but there have never been more arrests made for marijuana use by the NYPD than in the history of the department. But here's Bill de Blasio, who claimed that there is no evidence that fare evasion is a crime of poverty, which the advocates are claiming it is.
There's no evidence, to my mind. We see, and it's not perfect research, I think, from any point of view, but we see people who evade fares and have money, and we see people evade fares and don't have money. We can't use that as a reason to create an incoherent system. People have to pay their fare to go into the subway.
Okay, so we know the mayor himself has not seen that firsthand because he does not ride the subways and he has not watched the transit police either in uniform or undercover.
He does, right before Election Day he does.
Yeah, right before Election. But he's probably never seen them pinched for fare evasion. Now, the public defenders have come out and they want you to believe that everybody who jumps the fare, goes under the turnstile, through the gate, they're poor and impoverished.
No way that my clients who are coming through on these cases are anything but completely impoverished. Fare evasion is a crime of poverty. These are people who are jumping turnstiles to get to work, to get to programs they're attending, even school. And so I think his comments show that he's completely disconnected from the low-income communities here in New York City.
You mean like the 20 kids who boarded that A-train who beat the living daylights out of that homeless guy on Saturday? I guess they were poor and impoverished, right?
Well, a lot of people who do jump, I think, are poor. But I'll tell you, it was funny. A couple of days ago, I remember going on the subway, and I saw this guy in a three-piece suit looking pretty dapper, and he was sort of sneaking out the back way. And I'm thinking, this guy can certainly afford it.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners out there. Do you believe that the people who have been stopped for fare evasion jumping the fare are poor and impoverished like the public defenders would like us to believe? Or what the mayor has said, that there is evidence that fare evasion is not a crime of poverty, and a lot of time people get caught with all kinds of ducats with dead presidents in their pocket. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
And should we give them a pass, too? That's the other question. If it is indeed mostly poor people, is it something that we should not go after because they're poor? Or should we make sure that we set a standard because it leads to other things? What do you think? It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Should they get a pass if they beat the fares on the subways?
Well, there are many times that I've been clipped and busted by the NYPD.
Have you jumped them? Have you jumped the fares?
All right. Oh, yeah. There's documentary evidence we posted on the Curtis and Cosby WABC
Facebook.
Wait,
are you jumping the fare?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. I got to look at that.
Oh, yeah, I missed that one.
Wow.
Protesting a fare increase.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
Right.
That's
there were other times jumping the fare, but
I thought you were making a criminal admission here on the air with me.
A lot of times when the cops would lock me up because they were posted to the Guardian Angels, I'd be on a daisy chain perp walk, and some other guys were busted for fare evading. And naturally, you have to vouch everything personally on you. And these guys would be pulling out, I mean, Philly rolls, like $100 on top and then singles underneath. And I'd be looking at them like, why didn't you just pay your fare? I ain't paying the fare.
Right, come
anyway,
on.
Anyway, let's go if we can to Donald,
please,
who's calling from Westchester. Welcome to Curtis and Cosby here on WABC. Donald.
Hi, Donald.
How are you?
Good. What do you think?
They are vouchering any money, any credit cards on turnstile jumpers that they get in process just to prove a point.
Oh, so
it's all just a quota?
No, just to make sure that they have money on them.
All right. So what you're saying is to vouch something means you have to arrest them though first.
Correct. If they have warrants, they're processing them.
Okay.
And when they do, the vast majority of them have enough money for the turnstile.
Oh yeah.
Credit cards.
Oh yeah.
Right. Look, that does happen. There's no question about that. That definitely happens.
Well, how many times? See, the fare one way is $2.75. You're hungry. You want some honey buns. And you decide to go into the nearby bodega, right?
Right.
Now, are you going to pay for the fare? You go to the bodega. You don't pay for the honey buns. They're going to chop your hand off.
Right.
So you figure, hey, I got a much better chance evading the fare than trying to steal a package of honey buns, and I'm hungry right now.
Let's go to Colleen from New Jersey. You're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77 WABC. Colleen.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're good. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I live check to check, and I don't know. you know, I pay for everything. But
would you try to jump in it?
I don't think I could do it. It would save me a lot of money, but...
All right, so Colleen, can I say one thing? Curtis, I think we got to give it to Colleen because she's an honest woman. She said, yes. I'm not going to... Because you are such a good, decent person, Colleen, we can tell that you're an upstanding citizen as a result
of
that.
Absolutely.
Guess what? Guess what you got? You know what you are? You are our lucky caller of the day. And as a result of that, by the way, we're going to be giving them out for the next few days, everybody. So keep tuning in because you are our lucky caller of the day and you are getting, Curtis, it's okay, right? I think we give it to Colleen, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, Curtis knows me. Tell him I'm the groomer from Columbus.
Oh, and even better now. Guess what you're winning? You are getting a $200 gift certificate.
I can use a little grooming like the dogs at the Westminster dog show. Groom me.
I can't hear him.
Yep.
You're going to get a $200 gift card, Colleen, to Ben and Jack's Steakhouse. And it's at 219 East 44th Street. Everybody, we're going to be giving out certificates to different great restaurants in New York City for the next few days. You definitely want to tune in because we've got some other great restaurants. Ben and Jack's is awesome. I have been there. I absolutely love this place. It's on 44th Street between 2nd and 3rd. It's just a stone's throw away from Grand Central Station. It's a traditional steak experience. Great atmosphere, awesome food. I love this place. I was so thrilled to be able to give this to you. And Curtis and I and all of us here at WABC, because we love you and you are a good, decent soul, we are going to give you that $200 gift card to the awesome Ben and Jack Steakhouse. Everybody, keep listening all week because every day we're going to pick a lucky listener and you could be one of them.
Let's go to Reggie, who's calling from Kingston. Welcome to Curtis and Cosby here on WABC. Reg.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
How
you doing?
Since 2009, I had my hip replaced on the right side, the right hip.
All right.
And I figured the best way... No, I'm not kidding you guys. I must have jumped 30 turnstiles since 2009, maybe 40. But the best way to test that hip was to jump that turnstile. The first...
Wait. So you're using it as a form of physical therapy? Is that what you're telling us?
More or less. But let me tell you what happened. The first time I did, I had it done August 9th, 2009. September 21st, I jumped my first turnstile. I didn't make it. I fell.
Oh, no.
I fell down. About three or four people came over to me to help me out. But in October, I keep notes. In October 27th, I leaped my first turnstile.
Wait, so now, Reggie, here's another form
of
physical therapy.
Sport.
What about putting your hand in your pocket and pulling it out and using that for physical therapy, putting a little money down? You use your arm muscles that way.
This guy is ready in case it becomes an Olympic sport. And I know a lot of guys and gals who are very proficient.
Mike Pence would clap for him, I think.
Irish sweepstake over, under, and through the gates.
Oh, my gosh.
1-800-848-WABC. As we continue, it will be interesting as we keep the lineup card at WABC. Who has fallen to the flu? Will Michael Savage be behind the microphones from 3 to 5?
Da-da-da-ding. We'll see.
Because remember, the flu has socked us from coast to coast. And then I'm on from the drive home at 5, and I've been labeled by Sid Rosenberg out with the flu like an old alpaca from Del Rey because they take all these prophylactic precautionary measures.
And also, you just had your surgery, too. I mean, if anyone is weak or vulnerable, so you are standing tall, my friend. I feel great.
Right.
I'm ready to go. You tell me. I'm ready.
And then Mark Levin, who was out on Friday again, he acknowledged he had the flu. I will tell you this. Don't give in to the hype and go out and get a flu shot. First off, it's going to take like 12 weeks to actually rumble through you and work.
And flu season is sort of the peak, everybody says, is around now and ends in March. So you kind of miss that window. And why get sick?
Right.
And don't beat the fairs, by the way. Don't beat the fairs on MDA.
They're going to be shooting the flu right into your system. So what are you going to get? The flu.
Blues.